Good afternoon, and welcome to Federated National Holding Company's first quarter 2015 financial results conference call. My name is Candace, and I'll be your operator today. Please note that today's call is being recorded. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and to ask a question at that time, you may press star followed by the number one key on your touch-tone telephone. Statements in this conference call that are not historical fact are forward-looking statements without limiting the generality of foregoing words such as anticipate, believe, budget, contemplate, continue, could, envision, estimate, expect, guidance, indicate, intend, may, might, plan, possibly, potential, predict, probably, pro forma, project, seek, should, target, or will, or the negative thereof, or the other variations thereon, and similar words or phrases or comparable terminology are intended to identify forward-looking statements. The matters discussed on this conference call are forward-looking statements, are based on current management expectations involving risks and uncertainties that may result in these expectations not being realized. Actual events, outcomes, and results may differ materially from what is expressed or forecasted in forward-looking statements made on this call due to numerous risks and uncertainties, including, but not limited to, the risks and uncertainties described in this conference call, our press release issued today, and other filings made by the company with the SEC from time to time. Forward-looking statements made during this presentation speak only as on the date on which they are made, and Federated National Holding Company specifically disclaims any obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statement to reflect new information, future events or circumstances, or otherwise. Now, at this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Michael Braun, Chief Executive Officer and President of Federated National Holding Company. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today to discuss Federated National Holding Company's first quarter 2015 financial results. I'm joined on the call by Pete Majewski, our Chief Financial Officer. Our financial results can be found in our earnings press release. I will go over some brief highlights, and then we will open up the line for questions. Highlights as measured against the same three-month period last year, except where noted. 46.9% increase in Florida homeowners policies to approximately 196,900. 31.6% increase in gross premiums written to $106.7 million. 14.6% increase in gross book value per share to $16.19, as compared with $14.13 at December 31, 2014. 10.2% increase in net income to $9.3 million. Net income of $9.3 million includes $1.7 million of accrued income resulting from the quota share agreement that became effective July 1, 2014. The income we will ultimately earn under this agreement is contingent upon certain criteria specified within the agreement, and this accrual could be reversed under certain circumstances. We are pleased to report another successful quarter in which our partner agents bound $42.1 million of new Florida homeowner business with Federated National. We recently announced in March that Monarch National received a certificate of authority and are happy to report that our partner agents have already begun binding new business with us during April. We continue to build the company for the long term by investing in our staff, partner agents, products, controls, infrastructure, and technology to support our continued growth. We have an outstanding and dedicated team of 256 employees that take great pride in continuing to deliver the great service and value that our partners have come to expect from us. With that, we are glad to open up the call to your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen on the phone lines, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star followed by the number one key on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Our first question comes from Arash Soleimani of KBW. Your line is now open.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning, Arash.
Just a couple questions. Can you, Mike, to start off, talk about whether you saw any change in frequency or severity of Tri-County water losses?
Tri-County is not a big portion of our book. It's about 19% of our exposure. Our number one losses typically are water-related. Historically, they've been over 50% of our losses. We're not really seeing any unusual trends in terms of the frequency of those type of claims coming in. So we're getting, you know, we're getting water losses as we always do. It's a dynamic environment with the water losses in terms of how those are handled with different contractors and so on, but they continue to be our number one loss that we receive from a non-wind perspective, what we call AOP, from those typical claims that we get.
Okay, but nothing unusual this quarter?
No, there's nothing unusual.
Okay. And then for Pete, a couple questions. What was, number one, what was the gross premiums earned in the quarter?
Gross premiums earned in the quarter, I'll have to get back to you on that. The gross premiums written, you know, was 106, and net premiums written was 80. I'll get you that number.
Okay, thanks. And the other question I had for Pete, can you talk about the loss ratio? That went up quite a bit year over year. And is that just related to, I guess, the reinsurance accounting flowing through?
Sure. I'll just start off with a general statement, and I think we've said this on prior calls that, you know, we target a lot, but our loss ratio, our net loss ratio, you know, over a 12-month period, we assume that we're going to hit around a 50% loss ratio on a net basis. So if you're comparing it year over year, I think it went from 48, this quarter was 53. And the reason is simply this. With the quota share, we're ceding 30% of our earned premiums. So the denominator in that equation is reduced by 30%, but we're not actually ceding 30% of the losses. There's a lot of accounting behind how we cede the losses in the quota share, and it's based on incurred. So over the course of the quota share program, we will wind up ceding 30% of the losses, but it varies from quarter to quarter. So one quarter you'll see that we will see 30%, some a little less, but when the program ends, we will see 30%. So I guess the bottom line is, and what I want to stress is that, you know, 50% is a normalized number. So the 48 was a little better, the 53 was a little worse, but a normalized number that you can expect is around 50% over a 12-month period.
When you say it was based on incurred, do you mean it's based on paid or based on incurred?
It's based on paid and case, basically. It's the change in case reserves and change in paid patterns. So not general IBNR, not bulk IBNR until the IBNR goes to case and then goes to paid. It's not being ceded. So, but we're still reserving a 30%. We're still reserving that number, but until it moves to case, it's not being ceded. But like I said, there's a lot of accounting behind that.
Right.
At the end of the day, through a 12-month cycle, it's going to even out.
Okay. So, I mean, would it be fair to say that the loss ratio in reality didn't actually, I guess, increase year over year, you know, to the extent that it showed up this quarter, that it was more of just been kind of like an accounting issue?
I will say this. I didn't look at last year's same period, but I will say that our gross incurred before ceding between the fourth quarter of 2014 and the first quarter of 2015 was flat. So
okay.
I think that proves the point that it's just the accounting with the quota share and the ceding of losses, because the gross incurred was exactly the same, or
okay.
You know, approximately.
And you have that change year over year also, the gross incurred? From 1Q14 to 1Q15?
I'll get that for you. I don't have it right here, but I can get that for you.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
That's it for me. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Samir Kaur of Capital Returns Management. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Samir. Great.
Good. I just wanted to adjust the pace of your writings. You guys, I think you said $42 million of new business. First question is, how much of that came from Monarch?
Zero for Monarch. Monarch went live in the month of April.
April,
April. Monarch's going to be kind of a slow rollout. Literally, we have 30 policies that have been bound with Monarch in the month of April. It's going to be a slow rollout as we go through 2015. I think really that's more for future growth. but as we progress through the year, it will definitely pick up as the agents have it, and it enters the marketplace.
Okay. So just looking at 42 million for the FedNet sub, and I'm using a 13-week quarter. That's more than 3 million per week that you guys have cited before. Can you confirm that calculation? And then on top of that, can you tell me if that was front loaded during the quarter? If that's gaining momentum, so it's back-end loaded.
It's your math is correct. That's bound. So typically, let's just, you know, that's all got to clear underwriting. So let's say, you know, 90% of that will clear underwriting, or 85%, whatever that may be. But in terms of is it ramping up or ramping down, FedNat is pretty, I would call it flat in that regard. It's been there for quite a while. We're seeing it relatively flat. But you versus prior year, new business coming in is down slightly, policy count. So business bound first quarter of 15 is down slightly, new business that was bound first quarter of 14. So there's a slight change to that.
Okay. And you alluded to this before, Monarch, now that it's kind of out in the wild, did you guys have some kind of idea of the reception, the traction from agents, and what you could possibly write? I mean, I know you had an 8K end of last year, I think.
We put out some. I mean, we got that question quite a bit, and we wanted to make sure that we got that numbers out, those numbers out, so everyone could kind of work it into their model. We don't know exactly what Monarch will do. However, we have very high expectations. I think that Federated National does very well in homes that are well mitigated, which are newer construction and so on, that will saturate that portion of the market. Federated National's growth, I anticipate slowing down at some point, whether it's in 15 or 16 or in 17, we really don't know that. However, I think Monarch is entering the market very well. It will be much more competitive in those risks that are not as well mitigated, that require more reinsurance, which means they require more premium. I think Monarch will do very well with that, and I would say that that's a much bigger segment of the market than those homes that are well mitigated, and we're underweight in that category of the market.
Okay. And Pete, one for you. The policy acquisition costs, they were quite a bit lower this quarter. And I know you guys have had some accounting funkies from quarters before. So is that what's going on this quarter as well?
There's two things that happened with the deferred policy acquisition costs in the quarter. We benefited from the quota share because we're getting a 25% commission on what we cede every month, and then we're amortizing that out over a year. But and also we made a change. We had a change in some of the commission, the way we pay our Texas auto commission. The commission was previously being paid by our MGA, and now it's being paid by the insurance company, so it's no longer going through DPAC. So that that was about $1 million benefit to DPAC. Although on a consolidated basis, you really don't see it because FNIC had $1 million additional expense, and DPAC was down $1 million, so on a consolidated basis it was zero. But when you look at DPAC here, you're seeing $1 million not there, the benefit, and the expense hit FNIC.
Okay, and then so going forward, will it be kind of more this 5% level, or will it be more on the 7% level?
No, it'll be more on the 7% level. That 2 points was okay. Because of that it'll be more on the 7% level.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. And three metrics, if you can give me policies in force, the surplus in, I guess, both the subs each and the cash and holdco.
The statutory surplus at the end of the quarter was $130 million. And then you're saying policies in force. Well, we just crossed over 200,000 Florida Federated National Florida homeowner policies. Obviously, the Monarch's coming online a bit slow, and statutory cash at the holdco.
Cash at the holdco, and Samir, you know, we invested in Monarch in the first quarter, as well as we put money into Federated National Insurance Company, which was, we did it in February, but we ended the first quarter at $32.7 million of available cash in the holding company.
Okay. And the $130 million of surplus, that's for both subs or just FedNet?
That's FedNet. Yeah, just FedNet.
Okay. And Monarch, how much does that have?
Monarch has $30.7 million.
Perfect. Thanks, guys. Congratulations. Great quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Ryan Burns of Janney Capital. Your line is now open.
Oh, hey, yeah, good morning, guys. Just had a quick question. Tax rate looked a little elevated this quarter. Just want to see if that's any one-timers in there or if that's some sort of or should we expect that going forward?
Hey, Ryan, it's Pete. The tax rate going forward is going to be about 38%, 35 federal, about 3.08 for state and local. So last year's tax rate annualized was 35%. We benefited from we filed our 2013 tax return in September of 2014. There was an adjustment to our benefit, which went through income tax. It was a contra expense, went through income tax expense in the fourth quarter, which lowered our tax rate in the fourth quarter to 29, which made the annual tax rate 35. But that was a one-timer. So this is a more normalized tax rate going forward. And I will say that in years past, we had NOLs, so any true-ups to the return wound up going through the balance sheet, increasing or decreasing the deferred tax asset. Well, since that's gone now, any adjustments or true-ups are going to run through income tax expense, either as a benefit or not. But we believe that this 38 is the number to budget.
Okay, great. No, thanks for that. And then my last one, obviously this is kind of the last time we get to talk to you guys before you guys buy your reinsurance at July 1. I realize we're still 2 months away, but any thoughts on pricing for you guys or maybe limits or any changes to structure for you guys?
Ryan, last year we bought about $1.6 billion, which is a lot of reinsurance. This year, we're going to be buying, I believe, in excess of $2 billion. Probably, it's a moving number, but could be around $2.5 billion. Single event would be, let's call it roughly half of that. So let's say $1.2 billion, $1.3 billion. It really depends on a couple of things. In terms of pricing, there's clearly a lot of capital out there. Capacity is robust. There's been public statements in the past that I believe from Aon and Guy Carpenter stating that they see pricing going down. We're in the middle of those negotiations, so we don't know where pricing will be until we actually ink those deals, which will be over the next 2 to 4 to 6 weeks, depending on how the renewal goes. But there's clearly ample capacity. It's just a matter of the pricing matching up with the supply and the demand.
Okay, great. Thanks for the call, guys.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from Doug Ruth of Lennox Financial Services. Your line is now open.
Congratulations on a good report, and thank you for the disclosure that you're giving us.
Thank you, Doug.
Could you tell us how much insurance is in effect at the end of the first quarter? What the market share is that you have?
if you use that, that we're at about $350 million, and the whole industry as a whole, the latest number that I had was about $9.6 billion. So I think you're talking high 3% market. I would say we're fast approaching 4%. So there's a long runway ahead of Federated National.
Okay, so you're saying it's 350 even?
We'll have to compute it for you, but I mean, the market, I wouldn't say that the 9.6 is a stable number. That moves from time to time, but we've crossed over $350 million during the first quarter of in-force, so it's just a matter of what that 350 is, but 350 against the 9.6 billion would show that it's about 4%.
Okay. It looked like the investment income possibly is a little lower in the first quarter. Could you maybe tell us a little bit about the bond strategy and what you're seeing there?
Doug. Hi, it's Pete. We shifted money we've shifted some monies to you know, shorter term. We continue to shorten the duration in anticipation of rates rising, and I've been saying that. We've been saying that now for 18 months, and rates haven't risen, but we still believe it's the right, it's the prudent course of action to keep the duration low, give up some yield, but not take the duration risk, because, like, you know, that really could you know, hurt comprehensive income. So we're just not going to take the duration risk. We're just going to bite the bullet on yield.
I think that's the exact right strategy, and I encourage and congratulate you on having the courage to do that, and thank you for that.
Appreciate that.
It looked like you had ramped up the employee count pretty good in the first quarter. Could you offer any comments on that?
Oh, absolutely. It's a steady process. You know, we kind of joked that we had 20 open positions 2 years ago, and we still have 20 open positions today. We filled 100 plus positions in between those 2 points in time. We steadily increase our staffing. we think that we are attractive in the marketplace to bring in not only skilled people, but also we really take pride in how we develop people in house and bring people in that are new to the industry and develop them through the ranks, both on the underwriting and the claim side. So you're going to see the continued expansion of our staff, absolutely, throughout the remainder of the year.
Okay. Could you give us any further color on Monarch? Is there anything that's happening that we should the investment community should know about?
Well, the big reason is just to understand why we created Monarch. And the reason is that we believe we're underweight in the biggest piece of the Florida property market, and that is those homes that are not as well mitigated. So when I say mitigated, when you think of a house that's built, making sure that the walls are strapped to the roof and the structure of the roof, those are important things. So with Federated National, we find that we're very competitive in that space. You don't need as much premium to write those type of risks because when the wind comes through, there'll be less damage to it. There's a lot of great risks out there that require additional premium to buy additional reinsurance. So we believe we're very underweight in that space. Once again, I believe Federated National at some point will saturate its position in the mitigated space. At $350 million, we're not there today. Where does Federated National slow down its trajectory of growth? It could be at $400 million, $500, $600, somewhere in there. We don't know. But we think there's an incredible opportunity as we expand our products with Monarch to serve that market. We are underweight, and I think we are well received because it's the same distribution, it's the same agents, and I think they appreciate all that we have to offer, from the transparency of our company to the robust reinsurance program to the high quality of service to our claims paying process to the ease of use. People want to place business with us, and we're very proud of that, and we're happy to be able to give them another product. We're intentionally holding back Monarch a bit out of the gate. We want to make sure it's done correctly. So you'll see that it will ramp up gradually through 2015. But the intention is really to launch it correctly, and we'll modify it as needed. And I think you're going to see much more of a ramp up in the latter half of this year, but really into 2016 and beyond.
Okay, that's very helpful. Now, will Allstate be selling Monarch?
Currently, Federated National is the only one that's in Allstate. Monarch is not in Allstate as we sit here today.
Okay. And then, is there some sort of buyout opportunity that at some point Federated could buy out their partners from Monarch?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, we have two great partners on that. Crosswinds is a fantastic organization, as well as TransRe. So as we sit here today, we're delighted to have them, and we really think we're better off because of them. Absolutely, there's an opportunity at some point to determine the value of that and for the ability for Federated National Holdco to acquire that, or to the other parties to acquire that, or perhaps for that to be sold in the open market, whatever that may be. But we personally have great interest in that and the success of Monarch, and are very bullish on what we can do with that, and are very appreciative of those two partners. So many years down the road, we will determine what the course of action is with all the partners. But for the next, I believe, 4 years is the way the agreement's written. We're very happy with the partnership we have, and we're going to grow that into a very nice insurance company with a sizable book that we can believe will be very profitable.
I'm very grateful that the two of you are doing it the right way. You're slowly and carefully making decisions, and it's really nice to see how well you've positioned the company. And thank you for the great report today.
Well, thank you, Doug. And just as a reminder to you, you know, you're only talking to two other folks, and there's 254 people behind us, and they're really the people that make it happen. So, but thank you very much.
Okay. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. And as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question at this time, please press star followed by the number one key. And our next question comes from Arash Soleimani of KBW. Your line is now open.
I just wanted to ask, are you on the retention going forward? Have you kind of thought about what that might change to?
The retention on the CAP program you're referring to?
Yeah, on the CAP program.
Last year it was $11.2 million, and this year we're anticipating that it will be probably $15
million. Okay.
So let me clarify just for everyone's benefit. So the tower will be in excess of $1 billion. Whatever storm would hit us, whether it's $100 million or $1 billion, we're anticipating with a $15 million retention that we'd be responsible for the first $15 million of that storm.
Okay. And I know someone had asked before about the Allstate Monarch potential partnership. So I know they don't have a partnership now, but is it something that now that Monarch is sort of up and running, that the conversation is starting? And, you know, I guess, what are your thoughts on it, whether you think it's a likely partnership or not?
I think we have a great partnership with Allstate, and our intention is to roll out Monarch slowly. Allstate has a huge distribution, and I think they appreciate all that we do. And at the appropriate time, those discussions will take place. And depending on Allstate's desire for that product and our ability to match those terms, we'll determine if and when it goes out through Allstate. But as we sit here today, Federated Nationals and Allstate, Monarch is only with a few hundred agents right now. That will continue to go to more and more agents. It will eventually match all of the Federated National agents. But we want to make sure, you know, it's kind of like testing a new vehicle or any other, engine or anything else. You want to make sure it's working correctly before you ramp it up too quick. It's much easier to correct challenges in the program before you ramp it up too much. So we're being very prudent with it, and I think you're going to see that's the case throughout 2015. As we gain more and more confidence in that all of our assumptions and everything that we've done with the program are proven to be correct.
Okay, great. And I know with Monarch you're keeping 42% after you back out the minority interest, but the MGA fee, do you keep 58% of the MGA fee? Is that the right way to think of that?
We are the MGA. So, generally speaking, that we get 7.6% as our MGA, so within Federated National Insurance Company, it kind of washes out with the whole co. But in terms of if Monarch writes $100 million just for easy math, our MGA would get 7.6% premium of the premium to write it, plus also the MGA fee, which is $25 per policy.
And Arash, Mike is 100% right on the cash flow. We're keeping 7.6%. But if you want to look at it, you know, out on a GAAP basis, because we own 42% of Monarch, we in effect own 42% of the expense. So on an income statement standpoint, if you wanted to net the two, you could look at it your way, because that's the way it will flow through the income statement. But Mike's exactly correct. On a cash basis, we're getting 100%.
Okay. Okay, great. Thanks.
The answer to the other question you asked earlier about gross premiums earned, it was $95.7 million, just so everybody on the call has that number.
$95.7 million, okay. And did you see in the year-over-year on the gross incurred loss ratio?
Oh, no, I didn't get to that. We can talk about that later. That's a little more involved.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm showing no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Michael Braun for any further remarks.
Well, I just want to thank everyone for their time today. It's unfortunate there's no more questions because we really enjoy what we do with the company and sharing it with our shareholders and all of our partners out in the space. So thank you very much for your the questions that we did get and the interest. And if there's any follow-up questions, Pete and I are always very welcoming to call, so please don't hesitate. So with that, have a great day. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This does conclude the program, and you may all disconnect. Have a great day, everyone.